church. I'll tell you what, it is truly good to be back in the house of God this morning. I tell you what, I did not submit a sermon to Lockhart Mayor, to Odeville Mayor, or to the Mayor of Sandyville. I did not do that this morning. So you're just going to get what you get this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know what? I'm going to be over in Acts, the 11th chapter. I'm going to begin with about the 22nd verse. Acts 11, starting about the 22nd verse. I'm going to read down about the 26th verse. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Listen to that last part again, because that's what I'm going to deal with. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning again, I come with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart. I want to come and praise you this morning. I want to thank you for your guidance, for your direction, Lord. I want to thank you for filling your spirit. I want to thank you for knowing that you are there. And Father, I want to praise you for that. And Father, I want to praise you, Father, for your Son Jesus. Most of all, that died upon a cross, that we can have salvation, that we can have it free. And Father, we give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The word Christian, I want to ask you, there was a time whenever you said that word, you know what? You know what? It brought respect with it. Am I not right on that? Can you say amen to that? It meant integrity, did it not? When you heard that word used about an individual or a church, you heard Christian used about them, you know what? What they stood for and whom they stood for. Am I right? You know what I'm talking about. I like what I heard people say this, that back in the old days, a man's word and a handshake was all that you would need, right? Have you heard people? I've heard old-timers say that, right? Well, back in the old days, when people wore the tag of Christian, it would mean something to the saved and to the unsaved alike. But I've come to understand this politically correct, upside-down world we live in, that it doesn't hold the same meaning that it once did. We are sometimes looked upon as the unloving ones, is what we're looked at, the troublemakers, the ones who need to change their way of thinking. Well, you know, Christians are looked upon that way sometimes nowadays. That's the way that we are looked upon. And you know what? It's sad, but it's true. They like to tell us the Bible's outdated, that Christianity is outdated, and if we don't change our way of thinking, we may cease to exist as religion. Well, I got news for them. You know what? Back whenever Christians are persecuted, I want you to know that Christianity spreads. It'll spread and it'll continue to grow. They may and have well continued to make laws, and they will continue to make laws that force us as Christians to comply with the world's way of thinking. They may try to do that. They may continue to do it. How do we, and I want to ask you a simple question, Mark. Who do we have to blame for all of this morning? That's right. Just go look in a mirror. Just go look in a mirror as well. I believe that we have to go no further than our own mirrors to find out why we're in a shape that we're in today. We have no further to look than us. I'm saying this to all the churches, to all the preachers, to all the Sunday school teachers, to all who hold the banner of Christian in this country and across the world. I am challenging every one of you this morning. You know what? That's why I would like to talk to you this morning about what it means to be a Christian. And what is, in this upside down world we live in, what does it mean? Why does it mean? Why should it hold great value to all of us who bear the banner of Christian? First off, I want to tell you something this morning, and I hope you understand. Not everyone who goes to church and even claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Amen? I don't care. Who are you? I'm not saying everyone who claims to be a preacher is not a preacher. Everyone who claims to be a Sunday school teacher is not a Sunday school teacher. Everyone who claims to be a deacon, a board member, it's not always the real deal. Do you agree with me on that? Amen, it's not. I know that people may be shocked to hear that, but I know you know that. Jesus himself said this over in Matthew 7:21. He said, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." I want to tell you something this morning. There are going to be many a preacher, many a Sunday school teacher, many a deacon, many a board member who will end up in hell one day because they did not have it. They didn't have it. Too many look good on the outside, but you know what? They're spiritually dead on the inside. You say amen to that? I'm going to tell you because I believe it. Matthew 23:12, Jesus even said this. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are full of dead man's bones, even all uncleanliness." Can you get that? Listen to me. You may look good on the outside. There's a lot of people that may look good on the outside. But brothers, when it gets right down to it, it's what's on the inside that shows and what counts. "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Outward righteousness, I'm going to tell you this, and inward corruption will not cut it. One of these days when we stand before a just God, it will not. It is the churches today. Is it in there today? Yes. Yes. Yes, it's in the churches today. The churches are full of corruption and hypocrisy today. If someone tells you the reason that they don't go to church is because there are hypocrites there, you know what? They're probably right. They're probably right. And can be said about every church in America today and every church that's in the world today. Can I hear an amen to that this morning? It can be said. What we must get across to them is this, folks. You know what? It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not, we can't worry about what everyone else is doing, what everyone else, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so is doing, or grandma or grandpa is doing. They may very well be the biggest hypocrites to ever walk into a church. But I want to tell you something this morning. When you and I stand in judgment one of these days, grandma and grandpa and sister brother, sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so won't be there. It'll be you. It'll be you standing before a just and a righteous God. And whenever you stand before that just and a righteous God, it's my Bible telling you will give an account for what you've done. I'm not going to give an account for what my wife done. I'm not going to give an account for what Joy did, or what Claire did, or what Mike did. I'm giving an account for what Dave Long did, and for what I preached, and for what I did, and how I lived my life, and how you live your life. You will give an account for it. Not what everybody else does. Listen to Revelation 20:13 tells us, "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man," I want you to say this with me, "according to their works, not somebody else's." So everyone claiming to be a Christian is not a Christian. Amen. So how do we know? How do they look and talk a certain way? Does a Christian do that? Do they smell a certain way? Just how can we be sure that they are a Christian today? How can we? Number one, love is the key. John 3:14, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He who loves not his brethren," say this with me, "he who loves not his brethren abides in death." Right there. Right there it is. Right there it is. If you do not love the brother, if you do not love him, you abide in death. This is not a lip service type of love. It's not that way. It is a genuine, heartfelt, a supernatural love that only comes to whenever we accept Jesus Christ into our heart. A love that lets you love the unlovable. A love that will let you have love and compassion on those who despitefully use you and abuse you and accuse you falsely. That's the kind of love that it takes to know whether or not you truly are a Christian or not this morning. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them who curse you. Do good to them who hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. That's the kind of love that a Christian possesses. Amen? That's the kind of love he possesses. You know what? It's in your Bible. I'm not telling you something that I'm just standing up here trying to preach. So also, every Christian will have the Holy Spirit in their lives. Right? Oh yeah, Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, dwells in you. Now, if any man, say it with me, has not the Spirit of Christ, he is what? He is none of his. Wow. We got to have love. We got to have the Spirit of God. Every Christian has the Spirit to lead and guide them. John 16:13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. When did he come? He's come. He came on the day of Pentecost. He comes. He's living amongst us today. He dwells in the Christians today. Why? Because we have to have that guidance and that direction in our life. Amen? That's what we need. There are those who may question the workings of God. Wonder how someone so awful, so full of sin in their lives, can change and become a brand new person. It's because the love of God abides in them. It's because the Spirit of God abides in them. If you do not have the Spirit of God in you, listen, you cannot and will not understand what I'm talking about here this morning. Listen, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they be known, because they are spiritually discerned. We can't understand. I mean, I can stand up here and talk to you all day and all night about spiritual things, about how the Spirit can guide you, how the Spirit can dwell in you. And you may be sitting back and thinking, that I don't understand. Listen to me. Unless you have the Spirit of God in your life, you're not going to understand spiritual things. You will not understand it. You can't understand. According to the Bible, you can't comprehend it without spiritual guidance because of the Spirit. What makes me wonder in amazement is not so much the world looking at us in that way. The world will look at us. They don't understand because they shouldn't even know what the Spirit's about, those that are still out in the world. But how many churches look at the Holy Spirit working in people's lives and they doubt it? There's churches out there all over this country that doubt the working of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen alcoholics and drug addicts change. Their lives change. I've seen it. I've seen it personally. I've seen marriages already heading to divorce court. I've seen them put back together and change. I've seen families that were torn apart put back together by the love and the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. I've seen it. I have seen it. As Christians, we have these attributes. Do you understand that? As Christians, we have this in our lives. We have it there. And if you don't, I'm asking you, please come here right now this morning. God's Word promises us we can. In Romans 2:11, it says, for there is no respect of persons with God. None. Listen, there is no respect of person with God. Praise God. He is wanting you to come, and He will give you the love that is needed. He will give you the Holy Spirit that is needed. He'll give that to you. But you know what? You've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to come at this altar. And you know what you've got to do? You've got to give Him every ounce of what's in your life. You can't hold on to one little aspect of it. You can't. You've got to be willing to say, God, here I am. I'm yours. Use me. Take me, show me the love, give me the Spirit. And I'll tell you what, I believe today Jesus Christ will do that. I believe He'll come into your life. I believe the love will flow in your heart. I'm telling you, when I say this, I know you get tired of hearing it. The night that I got saved, and I got on that school bus, and all things became new. I want to tell you, going home, that church bus, going back home, the world was different. I had love for things and people I never had love for before. Because you know what? I had people I really despised. I did. And I'll tell you what, God gave me a love for them. He gave me a love because you know what? I seen past. I seen past and I seen what was real and what was needed in their lives was the same thing that I got. And I wanted to make sure that they get it too. Praise God this morning. The word Christian means to be Christ-like. It means to be a little Christ. And you know what? That's what it means. And it says that a Christian means to be party of Christ, to be party of, to be adjoined to Him. Are we that way? You know, this world, this upside down world we live in today, sometimes it's hard to tell the Christians from the non-Christians, is it not? Oh yeah, I go to church. Then you tell some of the filthiest jokes and do some of the worst things and go out about your life. Oh yeah, I go to church. And you know what? There's people watching the whole way. They're watching the whole way. And you know, we wonder why we are witness. We can't get people to come to church. We wonder why that we can't see people saved. We wonder. A Christian shows evidence of adhering to God's word. Amen. They show it. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you what. What's it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be someone that holds the banner of Christianity high? Amen. What's it mean? I think it should mean a lot to us. It should mean a lot to this country. It should mean a lot to this state we live in, to our community. And we should be the ones that hold the banners high. As they come and get a song this morning, I'm going to tell you what. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm begging you, come up here this morning. If you do not have the love in your heart that you should have, if you do not have the Spirit of God in your life this morning, I'm telling you, come. Come and let Jesus Christ come into your heart.